Did I hear a recording? That sounded awfully low.
There we go. Okay, the sound was temporarily muted here in the chambers, but I think
Is this? Are we good?
we are
Okay.
on the record.
We're
Yes.
on the record. All right. We are back on the record. It is 3:10 in the afternoon on the WoodSpring Suites Hotel Estap SIPA appeal. I think the county was going to call Darren Gurney. Is that correct? Oh, Robert Hankins. Oh, okay.
And I see him as an attendee, so I'll pull him over as a panelist and he'll be able to speak.
Thank you, Ms. Jones.
I'm sorry, Mr. Watcher, if you don't mind, I think turning on your microphone. I just wasn't able to hear.
Okay, and everyone can hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So, Mr. Hankins.
Yep, here I am.
There you are. Good afternoon. If you could state your name for the record.
My name is Robert E. Hankins.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury to the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the screen here, but my screen's bigger looking over here, so I'm not going to be looking there.
No, that's fine. I can hear you and see you just fine, and yet you're the way you direct your gaze is up to you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hankins, this is Neil Wachter on behalf of the county, and I'm going to have some very preliminary questions for you, then we'll dive into this permit. First of all, what is your last name spelled Hankins?
It is.
And what is your position and duties?
I'm an engineer too at Kitsap County in Community Development, and my duties is doing plan reviewing and mentoring the other engineers.
Can we presume then you have a you're certified or you are a professional engineer?
I am a professional engineer, a PE,
And
and I've been with the county about 10 years.
is there a focus to your engineering background?
Land development. And then in this position at Kitsap County, it's mostly doing storm review.
Are you part of a team called Development Engineering with the county?
I am.
And what is Development Engineering's role in reviewing permit applications generally?
Generally, we take in an application. We'll start with the developer will usually come to us and they'll ask us if they have a project that they'd be interested in and can they do it. And we'll have pre-application meetings or a kind of a beginning dialogue that talks about what they can and can't do. So they meet with our staff, not just community development, but the planning department, environmental, and we kind of lay out the groundwork. Yes, it is zoned. You can do what you're going to do. And so then you go ahead and make a formal application for a permit, which is a site development activity permit. We call an SDAP.
So, I guess, are you familiar with the WoodSpring Suites project?
Yes, I am.
And what's been your role with that project?
My role at the very beginning of it, when it comes to the door, I might have been in part of the actual intake to the people will submit an application. We look to see if they have the right documents submitted because a lot of times there's missing pieces and we won't take it in as an application officially until all the documents in place. And then there will be a notice of application, an NOA that is done. And I think I prepared the one for this one, that gives a brief description and it gets the letters sent out. I don't send it out, but the office staff sends out this notice of application to all the surrounding properties that would be impacted.
And you believe that a notice of application was sent out for this permit application?
Yes, it was. April 23rd, 2025.
Could that be a notice dated April 25th, 2025? And for everyone's edification, I'm looking at Exhibit F18.
I don't have the exhibit, but
Okay.
if that's what you're saying, yeah, I'll prepare the letter one date, and then the office of staff will kick it out, and so whatever date they put that on.
And that would go to what field or what group of people
Our office assistants.
I'm sorry, I was very vague. The notice of application dating from April 2025, Who is that sent to in the community?
Well, that will be sent out to the surrounding properties. Now, the exact area might be 800 feet of the surrounding property owners, but our office staff could, if you need that exact number, but it notifies the neighbors, hey, there's a development going on, and here's what's happening in your neighborhood.
All right. Sir, I want to actually, if I could get the assistance, I'd like to display F18 just on the first page, and then we'll go to the fourth page. I'm sorry.
And that distribution
Right.
list is correct. That's our office staff will send all those out to all those different people. It says distribution list.
Okay. Could I ask then we go to the seventh page? And sir, just for the record, we're looking at page seven again of exhibit F18. Is this schematic part of what was sent out with the notice to the different possible stakeholders that you identified or that you mentioned?
Yes. So this is, I cut and paste this in as an attachment from the original documents from the application that we received.
Next, I would ask to go to exhibit F42, please. Right, so Mr. Hankins, did you in fact issue an acceptance letter for the SDAP application in the WoodSpring Suites matter?
I did. This is the acceptance letter. I drafted it, and then I sent it off to my manager to do the final signature at the bottoms.
Okay, so this is a letter dated April 21st, 2026, which went out under your signature as well as a Bree Ellis's signature. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And I would ask you to walk us through the different categories of submittals you reviewed from the applicant that are pertinent to this SDAP approval. In other words, tell us what you did and what you reviewed in order to reach the conclusion that this acceptance letter should be issued.
Okay. What I do is I'll get the plans in the whole, the civil engineering packet, and I will review the storm drainage, and I will review the grading on site, the building foundations and the grading. I don't do any structural engineering. That's a separate building permit. I will look at the geotech report and make sure the things are lining up with what the civil engineer has stated in their storm drainage reports. I will glance through the TIA. I am not the TIA person, but I always look at it as an engineer. I'm just curious what goes on. So I look through that. I will also look at the storm drainage report, like I said. And I will look at if there's any frontage improvements that needs to be done that are called out as under the directions of maybe the right-of-way department. The sewer department, I do not. I look through them, but that's not my thing. We have a public works sewer department that looks through that. So pretty much just the on-site. I do look at the circulation. Not that I'm responsible for it, but the circulation for the parking in the driveway that we're talking about here, that is through the fire department to make sure that we have the proper radiuses that emergency vehicles can make it around a building and service the site. And so once that department signs off, then I sign off.
So tell us the purpose of the acceptance letter.
The acceptance letter is something that once I've got everybody, there's multiple departments that have to review the plan. And I'm wait through our software program. I wait for everybody to approve their step. And once they've approved the step, then I will go through and I'll condition all the conditions and their standardized conditions that we have, a list that we pull off. I'll look at the inspections. And then once I get the inspections all done and the conditions all done, I'll draft this acceptance letter. And what it tells you, and I'll stamp up the plans approved with a, we have a big red stamp that says approved plans. Well, that's the plans are approved. The developer or the engineer won't be able to receive those plans until they have a pre-construction meeting. So that's part of our process. So the next step after this acceptance letter is the pre-construction meeting. And then the engineer has to provide, or the developer has to provide, certain documents that we give them. And then we have to hold that pre-construction meeting. And then after that, documents have been received from the pre-construction meeting, then the permit is actually issued. So at the state, the status that it's at now, acceptance letter, is that they have 365 days from the date of this letter to have this pre-construction meeting held, or the permit goes expired. But they can also ask for an extension.
Sir, has the pre-construction meeting occurred for this project?
No, it has not.
Has it been scheduled for this project?
Not that I'm aware of, not as of today.
In the system that you've described, is the acceptance letter issued by Kitsap County considered a land use decision? Can you say?
I don't know if it's a land use decision. It's a decision, but it's that's something for our planning and environmental person can answer.
Possibly some lawyers. So yeah. Is it correct to say that when the permit itself is issued, it will come with a variety of conditions of that attach to the construction project?
Yes. This acceptance letter will spell out where they can actually do the pre-construction meeting, and then they will be receive some documents once they ask or request to schedule the pre-construction meeting. Then our office assistants will actually give them more documents, and some of those documents will be a list of conditions. The owner has to initial every single one of those conditions and sign at the bottom, and then return those to me, or return them to the portal.
I'm going to ask help in getting to page 2 of this exhibit. We're still on F42 for the record. Sir, are you able to see page 2 that we've got displayed?
If that's what's there, yes.
Yes, sir, it is. So I'd like to direct your attention to the paragraph, the second titled paragraph, which states permit documents.
Yes.
And I'd ask you to first read the first sentence of that paragraph and then explain what it means in the DCD system.
Okay. It says the complete case file, including findings, conclusions, and any conditions of approvals available for review at the Department of Community Development. If you wish to view the case file or have other questions, please contact the helpline and at the number.
So is there some place within the permitting file where there are presently any findings, or is that something for a future stage of this process?
I'm assuming that this would be anybody who would want to see the case file, which would include the SEPA determinations, any land use decisions, if there's a conditional use permit, anything that's in our file, and they could look through the storm drainage file or the geotech file or the transportation impact analysis. They could request all that information, and they would receive that, you know, in a timely manner.
So is that another way of saying that findings and conclusions and any other conditions of approval would be part of the record that's available to any person seeking that information at the different resources or the different contact numbers that you've listed?
To the best of my knowledge, that is correct.
Are you aware of findings pertinent to your SDAP acceptance letter that are in anywhere in the record outside of the SEPA review and approval.
Maybe you'd have to rephrase that statement. I'm not aware in this particular, once somebody requests some formal documents, they don't request them by me. They put
Okay.
in a formal request and they get them through other staff members, but that wouldn't be me.
Okay, so again
Do
on
we, can I just ask and clarify? Do we not have an actual SDAP decision?
the site development activity permit,
If that was the appeal of an SDAP,
the appeal
so
is,
not.
well, what's happened is they appealed the acceptance letter. And in the acceptance letter, if you go back up a little bit, they have a 14-day comment period.
So, I mean, I hate to interrupt this, but I guess I have a question on jurisdiction. If, because the typically what would happen, you wait for the SDAP to issue, like not just an accept. And I am
No, you're absolutely
and
correct.
I looked to, I
The
guess I'm Mr. Walker, I hate to, I mean this, I mean without an, I mean this is how it works. You have the SDAP, you have appeal of the SDAP, and then the SEPA is, it's all should be combined. But if you all haven't issued the SDAP yet, we shouldn't be holding the hearing yet. Am I completely missing something? And I looked to the lawyers on this, and I
Oh,
hate to
okay.
be,
Okay, you look at, well, here's what it is. The permit
yeah.
has not been issued. So there is no formal permit issued yet because they have not had the pre-construction meeting. They can't hold the pre-construction meeting because this thing got appealed and it's stopped the
Right.
process.
Typically, so on when I've had other matters where there's been a SEPA appeal and an SDAP, you they do file the SEPA appeal because there's a deadline to do that. But we wait to hear the SEPA appeal until there's an actual SDAP appeal. So I'm wondering, and this is a question for the lawyers, and
There you go.
I hate to have gone through all today and then all of a sudden raise this question for y'all. But I'm. If without, if we don't have the actual SDAP decision, do we, I think we kind of have to stay this hearing and wait till that issues. And I maybe, maybe I'm not miss completely missing something. Because I don't think a letter of acceptance, that wouldn't be an appealable decision. Typically, it wouldn't be an appealable decision. And the, you know, I'm not looking at the code right in front of me, but that typically that's how that would work.
It sounds like you maybe have at least a little more experience with SDAP appeals than I do. My understanding was that the acceptance letter was effectively, the issuance of a permit.
Okay, if it's effectively considered a dis the, and I guess
Maybe that's wrong though. If
yeah, no,
it's
if and
not.
I guess and I get that's what I was assuming. I was and I but I don't think I looked closely enough at it to kind of realize, wait, is this a decision or not? Because if we don't have the decision, we should wait on the to and stay the hearing. But if this is because it so I guess my question is, do we have an SDAP that will ultimately be forthcoming that then would be appealable and would be combined with a SEPA appeal before me?
I think the short answer is, well, I'd been informed that the acceptance letter is itself an appealable land use decision.
Okay.
Now, with that said, you're not wrong that when the day comes that an actual SDAP is issued, that could, it's in and of itself, be subject of an appeal.
Because yeah, I think that the way, and again, I'm not looking at the code right in front of me, and this just occurred to me, but typically the letter of acceptance on any other application would be that just means we've got everything we're reviewing, and then we're going to issue a decision, and then that final decision, that SDAP decision, will have a host of conditions on it that will address, that may address some of the issues that got raised. So I wouldn't want to prematurely interject into the county's process if that's the case.
I'm just trying to look at the code while we're talking about this. I mean, it sounds like there are two possibilities, and we probably need to pin down which it is. One possibility is that the acceptance letter is a land use decision, And then the SDAP itself is like a construction permit. And I think if that's the case, then you could have a consolidated SEPA and acceptance letter appeal. That wouldn't be an orphan appeal just because you've got a construction permit waiting. But if the acceptance letter is not a land use decision, it's just some sort of interim step.
Well, it is a decision or determination. I guess the question is whether it's not just in looking at it, it doesn't look like there's conditions. It's not your typical kind of this is our decision, here are the conditions. And Mr. Cartman, I don't know if you have and Mr. Nelson and the folks online. I know there's several attorneys online as well.
I'd be happy to jump in. I think from our perspective, we flagged this in our original appeal too. I think we said out of an abundance of caution, we're filing an appeal here in the event that this is considered the final land use decision. It wasn't clear to us. I haven't looked back at the code on this issue in a while. At the time, it wasn't clear to us that the acceptance letter is that final decision. I don't believe that that's really referenced. It's clarified in the code. We recognize that issue and have recognized that issue. So obviously we agree that if there we should be waiting for a final land use decision, but I don't know if the county has more experience as to what that would be here.
So, I guess can I, Miss Robert Hankins, if I can,
Yes.
will there be I guess first is there will be an SDAP decision, correct, right?
My acceptance letter went out the moment they have the pre-construction meeting done and approved by me, then the permit is issued. That starts the clock for them for doing all their construction in the time frames that they have to do it in. But
Okay.
if they do not get it, if they do not if they my plans are already stamped up approved. So if they're going to make a revision to those plans, one would be an amendment. Another one would be revision. So prior to that permit being issued, it'd be just called a revision, and we just keep on redoing the plans. Once the permit has been issued, then it's called an amendment, and they apply for the amendment, they pay the fees for that, and it goes through another review process. And a lot of times, developers do that. They know they're going to fix something, but they'll do it later.
So would there then be an administrative appeal opportunity to the
And
hearing examiner? Because we can't have two appeals. That's not going to work.
our understanding was that this was the appealable, essentially land use decision, the appeal on SEPA as well as code compliance. It does say on page four, I believe, of the acceptance letter that a building permit will also be required, which I think is
Okay, so that would be good. So the STAP's essentially akin to the building permit then.
it's a construction permit.
Country. Okay. All right. Well, I guess it makes sense. We'll just continue with the hearing at this point, but there is a question on in my mind on that, and maybe folks can take a closer. It looks like we've just had an arrival here on.
Well, you don't want to shock anyone by identifying a new witness, but I'll just state for the record who's joined me. This is Cecilia Olson. She is the assistant deputy or deputy director of DCD, and as we've been speaking about this, we haven't just been idle. We've reached her and been posing the question. Understanding that Ms. Olson is not on our witness list, and I don't want anyone to feel like they've been blindsided here, but she would be able to speak directly to that, or she can be
That
available
would
during
be
the.
helpful unless there's any objections to that, because I just want to get the procedure right. That's all. So,
Yeah, no objection within the scope of this discussion.
okay. And I assume that's the case for everyone online as well. Is that right?
No objection.
Okay. All right. Should I just go ahead and swear Ms. Olson in then? Okay.
Yes, please.
Thank you for your appearing on such short notice. If you can state your name for the record.
Cecilia Olson.
And you swear affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I sure do.
Thank you.
Ms. Olson, is your last name spelled Olsen?
Olsen.
And could you identify your position and then do your best to answer the question on the table, which is Does DCD treat the SDAP acceptance letter as an appealable land use decision?
Sure. So I am the one of two assistant directors with DCD. And with SDAPs, when we issue the acceptance letter, there are no land use findings associated with that for outright permitted uses, which is the case here. So the noticing and everything that we do is associated with the SEPA review and determination that we ultimately do. So the SDAP acceptance letter is a decision that is appealable. And in that letter, it does state at the beginning, I believe, that review staff, I'm so sorry, I ran up here, so I'm a little out of breath still.
No, that's fine. Take your time.
Review staff have found that it's, compliant with applicable codes. So by issuing the letter, it can be assumed that the planner that did the review against zoning codes and land use found that it was approvable and compliant with those things.
Okay, so historically the county has treated it as an appealable decision. So if that's the case, then we would be okay to continue.
Yes.
Okay, so I think that answered. I haven't looked at the code, but I think that answers the question. And a little bit of this governed, I think, by county practice. But unless there's objections from anybody in the hearing room or online or any other concerns, it seems to me it just makes sense to continue to proceed before I interjected with that question. So, any comments or concerns from any of the parties? Okay. All right. I think that's all. Mr. Walker, I don't know if there's anything else you want to ask Ms. Olson at the time, but I think that addresses my concern for now.
Well, one more
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
question that you didn't prepare for today. And that's the question of a potential later appeal of the SDAP. Is there a, I guess, what's DCD's practice or what's your expectation with respect to the SDAP itself, since the physical permit hasn't really been issued yet?
Within Title 21, which is our land use and development procedures, we identify that an SDAP could be a type one or type two decision. When the SEPA determination is made with the SDAP, it is a type two. And our code allows type one and type two decisions to be administratively appealed to the hearing examiner within 14 days of issuing that decision. I don't know of any other appeal paths once the permit has been issued, at least not within our code.
Okay, so in theory, there could be another appeal of the SDAP, but I mean, once the SDAP issued is kind of what I'm hearing. Is that
But not that is allowed through Kitsap County
okay?
Code.
Okay, understood. Okay, so it kind of operates like a typical building permit would be. Okay, that makes more sense. Okay, gotcha. All right.
And I guess I would just ask if anyone, just so that the record is clean, is anyone, any of the parties wish to ask further questions of Ms. Olson?
Anyone online or in the hearing room who have any further questions for Ms. Olson? Nope, I don't see
I
anybody.
guess,
Oh,
sorry,
yes.
will there be an
And this is
additional,
Mr. Cartman, just for the
yes,
record.
sorry, I'm David Cartman on behalf of the applicant. Will there be an additional permit issued that is separate from the building or construction permit, or are we talking about the building or construction permit issuing in the future?
So the SDAP is all of the infrastructure, horizontal construction. I imagine there would be a building permit at some point that has its own appeal path. I'm not aware of any other permit requirements for this particular project.
So there will be the horizontal construction, the SDAP, that has yet to issue, as you were saying.
Correct, because what our procedures are for that are we issue the decision, which is it's called an acceptance letter. It's like we're accepting the construction plans, but we won't approve it for final approval until the construction is completed and found to be compliant. And so we issue that decision, we allow for the appeal period. There is a requirement prior to issuance that there are certain documents, proof of liability insurance, stuff like that, sureties that need to be posted. And there is a pre-construction meeting that is held prior to allowing issuance of it and construction beginning.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Clarification?
Can I speak up? This is Robert.
Should we maybe we'll hold on that
Okay.
until because we're going to come back to your testimony in a second.
Okay.
Unless Mr. Wachter, I think we've concluded
I have
with
just one clarifying
and
question. I just
identify
couldn't.
yourself for the record.
This is Duncan Green, representing the primary appellants. I couldn't write fast enough. Was the testimony that this SDAP that the acceptance letter was issued for was a type one decision or a type two decision?
Type two, because there was a CEPA
Because there's a
determination. Yeah,
CEPA.
there's no preceding land use that would have had a CEPA determination associated with it.
And did I hear correctly that type two decisions are administratively appealable within 14 days?
Of the decision being issued, yes.
Okay. So there, I feel like that maybe brings us back to the potential for another appeal separately from the building permit appeal.
But with the SDAP, because we already have had the CEPA appeal, so it's the SDAP is just it's on it's a standalone.
Aren't both appealed?
Because the CEPA review, you couldn't appeal the CEPA again because the appeal is run appeal, and so there would be at that point you've got just whatever the remaining permits are, and there's no CEPA to kind of change the elevate the status, if you will.
There were three appeals of the CEPA determination that were filed. That's the 26-00-922, 963, and 980. And then there were also two appeals filed of the administrative decision. That's the 1677 and 1678. So those appeals were filed after the acceptance letter was distributed, and sent out to parties and agencies and whatnot. So.
Thank you. That
And
was
I
the
believe that
clarification.
appeal period has already expired, though. There would not be a window for additional appeals on the SDAP.
To me, to the hearing examiner. I think that's what I think I heard. So,
Okay.
And I believe Ms. Raymond has her hand raised as well, if you'd like to speak.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Thank you very much. Just and I apologize if I'm being obtuse, but just trying to clarify here. So Ms. Olson, when we are talking about the type two review procedures and requirements for a decision on those, this acceptance letter is the decision that should comply with those requirements, right? There's not something coming later.
There is not anything that would come later on the SDAP, no.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Anything further? For Ms. Olson, anyway. Ms. Olson, thank you so much for the spur of the moment testimony. So I think we can go ahead and proceed with the county's original witness, Mr. Harkins. And Mr. Wachter, I don't know if you need a short break to get, because I know this was a bit of an interruption.
Regroup.
Yeah.
We'll try and proceed.
Okay.
So,
Yeah, thank you for addressing that. So
and to everyone, I'm appreciate you bearing with us as we injected a new person into this. But procedurally, I think there were some interesting and important questions to address. Mr. Hankins, were you able to hear all of that?
yes.
And I sensed that you had some interjection or clarification that you were prepared or interested in stating.
Well, I did. Remember I told you about once the permit has been issued as a permit, and then if there's any changes later, contractors come up and say, "Oh, we can't do this, we can't do this, we're going to change this, change that." That's the amendment process. And I was going to ask Cecilia if the amendment process is subject to appeal.
Well, we better
Otherwise,
make it.
nobody would know what's going on. Yeah, and I would think people would want to know.
Well, we'll have to put a pin in that specific
Okay.
question.
Yeah, we can address that, I think, later. I don't know that we need for purposes of today. I think we can go ahead and continue. So.
Okay.
So, I believe you testified that the plans themselves have been stamped as approved. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you also alluded to review processes that were conducted by various county actors, I believe, including the fire marshal or his staff, as well as a person from Public Works. Can you? Understanding that you're sort of ground zero for the permit and not the person doing all those steps, can you give us a nutshell of what was reviewed, and what issues were reviewed by those personnel?
For the site development activity, there's probably a list of 15 or 20 different things. We go through addressing, building, our survey, the storm drainage, environmental, and planning, traffic. I have a traffic step. There's also a traffic public works. There's also a public works sewer, public works right of way. I mean, we have a list of things of different departments.
Okay, so a real laundry list.
Yeah.
I guess what specific review was conducted with respect to the issues of parking, traffic, and circulation?
Parking would be solely done by the planning department. They're the ones that look at the amount of and what kind of parking stalls there are. Whether it's an EV or standard or compact or the total quantity. So that'd be the planning department. That was Jeff Smith. We do have the TIA, that's Public Works Traffic Division. And that person would look at the traffic studies. I do not look at that. So that's a different department.
And then circulation. You alluded to the fire marshal, is that right?
Yes, and I was kind of looking up right here. If I get my computer up, just a second. Oops. Yeah, fire department looks at it also, and building. And fire departments would be looking at the circulation of how traffic enters the site. Can they maneuver around with the proper radiuses? To clearly serve the building with a ladder truck because it's a four-story building or any of those type of stuff, but they're looking at how they can get in and out, and then they're also looking for the fire hydrant placement. It's not our water; it'll be somebody else's as the purveyor, but they will look at the placement of the hydrants and make sure that. And they also look at the handicap or ADA accessible routes. Can somebody safely get from the parking stalls to the buildings and around the buildings and in the buildings?
Okay, Mr. Hankins, thank you for explaining all of that. Those are all of my questions at this time.
Okay. Is there any cross-examination for Mr. Hankins?
I do have a few questions. This is Duncan Green for the primary appellants.
You may proceed.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Hankins. Again, Duncan Green. I'm one of the attorneys representing three of the appellants in this matter. I'm sorry, my face isn't on the screen, but I'm the one waving his hand in the very small video of people in the room. So I have just a few questions for you. I wanted to start where Mr. Watcher left off. You had said, helpfully described sort of different divisions and people that were responsible for different aspects of the review. It sounded like, in terms of parking, that's Jeff Smith. Is that right?
That should be Jeff Smith. which is
And
the
then
planner.
traffic, you mentioned there's the TIA that was reviewed, and you mentioned the Public Works Traffic Division. Who is the person responsible for that?
The person's name is Susan Gowdy. Goudy.
Susan Gowdy, okay. And then would she also look at non-fire traffic circulation? I know we mentioned, the fire department looks at fire truck radius issues and fire hydrants, but would Susan Gowdy look at questions about non-fire vehicles circulating into and through the site?
I don't believe she would. That would be a private development, and that's privately, she's the Public Works, Traffic Division, and so she's looking at entering and exiting out of the onto the public streets. So once it enters a private, that's they typically don't comment on stuff like that.
So Susan wouldn't review it. Is there anyone else at the county that would review
The fire,
that?
Matt Bryant, or one of the fire, marshals.
But they would only be reviewing it from the perspective of fire trucks, right?
Yeah, fire, pretty much. If a fire truck can make it, so will an ambulance. So they're going to look at the widest radiuses and how you circulate and how you get in and out and can they get out safely.
But what about besides fire trucks and ambulances, would the fire department look at just non-emergency vehicle movement in and around the site?
Typically not. They're only looking to see if they can access it for fire and safety.
Is there somebody else at the county that would look at that issue?
Well, Jeff Smith would be looking at the, I would be looking at the radiuses, but that's about it. Does a vehicle make it around the corners? Can they make it happen?
Okay,
But
so
the actual
Jeff sounds like,
parking layout itself is a planning
excuse me.
department function.
Okay,
Jeff
that's
Smith.
very helpful. It sounds like Jeff Smith is
Yeah.
pretty much the guy on non-emergency traffic and parking.
Yes, in landscaping, correct.
Got it. I'll ask the clerk to pull up, this is Exhibit F42, the SDAP acceptance letter we were talking about.
One sec, let me pull that up for you.
Sure, take your time. And while we're pulling that up, Mr. Hankins, what did the approval, well, let me ask it this way. Did the approval letter mean from the Development Engineering Department's perspective that the submitted plans were compliant enough to be accepted for construction?
That is correct.
And do you see on, I don't know if you can see this on the screen, where the acceptance letter, it's kind of in the middle of the screen right now, where it says, we have reviewed and accepted the accepted for construction the site plans.
That, yes,
Yeah.
I see that note.
And found them to be generally consistent with the Kitsap County Code.
Yes.
Do you know what specific engineering standards were applied to reach that conclusion, or is that someone else's in someone else's role?
Let's see. We've reviewed construction site plans for the above reference. Staff have found the proposed site. So, to make that statement, each division has their specific thing that they're looking at. And once they write approved on it, then that's that it's done. And then I draft the letters and put them together.
And are there specific criteria or facts in this particular document that support the finding that the improvements are generally consistent with the code?
Well, by the nature of this acceptance letter, we do look at to make sure the parking stalls are the right dimensions, the aisle widths are the right dimensions, there's a proper spacings, there's a proper landscaping behind that type of thing, the proper setbacks. Those are all listed in our codes.
But are the, is that spelled out in this document, or
No,
is it
it wouldn't
somewhere
be.
else?
No, it wouldn't be spelled out in this document. It just, we only just say it just met our requirements.
Okay, and if ask the clerk to pull up Exhibit F30, which are the approved civil plans. And are these, Mr. Hankins, are these the approved civil plans that you accepted?
Yeah.
Great. And some of this is just sort of orienting everyone where we are in the discussion. Sorry to shift around so
Okay.
much. If you could pull up Exhibit F21, which is an information request from DCD. Mr. Hankins, are you familiar with this information request document?
Well, I haven't read through it, but this is our standard ones that we'd kick out for anybody who has comments for review. So July 19, 2025. Okay.
And before issuing the SDAP acceptance letter, were you aware that DCD had raised questions in this document about the route between the hotel and Kitsap Credit Union?
No. Was it part of the planning comment?
I believe it was.
Okay. So if it's a planning department comment, they're the ones that would comment on it, and I
Okay.
typically won't look at it.
Okay. Skip over some of these questions. Turns out a lot of my questions are for Mr.
Jeff.
Smith and
Yep.
maybe for Ms. Gowdy, but I may have one or two more for you. Did the acceptance letter that was issued on April 21st that we looked at in Exhibit F42, did that document impose any conditions related to potential parking or circulation impacts?
The document itself would not, acceptance letter. What the conditions are actually written in the in our computer program, and then once the pre-construction meeting is held, then the conditions are all listed out in a whole list, and each the developer has to go through and initial each one that they understand what the conditions are.
And where would we find those in the record? Do you know?
Well, that's part of our SmartGov system, and they might not be finalized. I have them pretty much all narrowed down, but at the very last check, what I do when I get the pre-construction, I go through and make sure everything's just before they print them out. And there hasn't been any pre-construction meeting requested, so I have not done that. But they're found in our SmartGov system, and our office assistant would have to go back and try to find those for you. I know where they're at, but I don't know how you guys get them.
Do you know if there's anything in the computer system, the SmartGov system, related to any condition related to parking?
Not off the top of my head, but I can find it probably pretty quick.
You know if there are any conditions in the SmartGov system related to circulation of vehicles around the site?
That's what I'm looking at right now, and I'm looking at all the conditions that are listed, and I am not seeing that right at this second. Let's see. I'm looking through it. Typically, it'd be a custom item, landscaping. Wheel stops. Yes, let's see. What is this? The applicant requested a minor parking reduction, 122 to 110. So that is one of the currently with the SDA approval, and they give the and due to the standard exceeding demand, the hotel is located on a Kitsap Transit line and is consistent. That is the okay. That is the only thing dealing with parking. And then I see there's another custom condition. Kitsap County relies on the applicant's assurances that the easements and rights provide adequate legal access under recorded CC&Rs. Those are the only two items I see as a condition.
Great, that's helpful. Thank you. And did you spend any time looking at or thinking about those conditions as part of your review, or is that sort of outside your the scope of your job?
That would be outside my scope because the reduction at somebody else's department and the legal issues that our survey department or planning department, we'd all look to see who has the legal access to enter. And that's one thing I do look at. Is there any cross drainage easements? Is there any ingress egress reciprocal easements, that type of thing? And this is a plat that was done a long time ago, and I think before I came on board.
So you did look at the question of whether there are reciprocal easements on this property?
I raised the question to see if there were.
Understood. And then was it you who added this language about relying on the applicant's representations about legal access, or is that somebody else?
That was somebody else.
Did you review the CC&Rs as part of your review
No, I did
process?
not. Nope.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I have. Thanks very much.
Okay.
All right. Any further cross?
Yeah, we just have just a couple.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Hankins. I'm Megan Raymond, representing the other appellant here. I think I'm going to ask Ms. Jones to pull up. I think we can start with the acceptance letter F42, please.
One second.
Thank you very much.
All right, you should be seeing it on your screen now.
Thank you. And Mr. Hankins, this is in part just still trying to orient after our slight foray into figuring out what an SDAP approval really is here. But the code has a couple requirements for what needs to be included in an SDAP approval decision. One is the con are the conditions of approval that you and Mr. Green were talking about. And I just want to get a sense of what you see as an included here and whether it's typical of the county's practice in regard to the other requirements. So the code requires a statement of applicable criteria and standards under the land use code to be included here. It is that included in your practice? Is that covered here? Is that on that item? Is this pretty typical of what you would provide?
As of today, this is a real kind of typical. Well, I should say, as of the time of this letter, this was the typical. Our acceptance letter formatting has changed throughout 10 years. We used to add all the conditions, and then those got deleted. And somebody said, no, you have to add this, you have to add this, you have to take away this. And it's been a revolving door here for the last 10 years. We even have a different one than this one now, an acceptance letter format. So each one of these appeals or something that comes up adds either something add to or take away. But as of this was the standard letter boilerplate that we put together.
Okay, and that's the same for us from the code quote statement of facts relevant to the decision. Is that provided here in your opinion, and at least to the extent compliant with the county's practice?
I think this isn't compliant. Yes, this went through our people.
Okay,
I'm not the attorney.
You're not the attorney. I'm just trying to get a sense of what really we're looking at here. Okay, and then I'm going to switch gears, and Ms. Jones, this is the last document I'll ask you to pull up, would be F18, the notice of application.
All right, one sec, we'll get to it.
Thank you. Well, while she's getting to that, Mr. Hankins, you said you prepared this, correct?
I did it. It comes off of a boilerplate, and we just cut and paste dates and times and maybe a narrative, and I cut and paste and put in the attachments. And
Okay.
there's a boilerplate of who the distribution list goes to. Also, we do that. But
Okay.
the narrative, I just cut and paste from
So
whatever our applicant gave us.
perfect. My questions are in regard to the, if Ms. Jones, if you'll scroll up just to the first page, in regard to the second portion of this, which is the preliminary CEPA determination, is that something that you were, I think this might be different than some projects because the county used the optional process where this was the notice for both CEPA purposes and the SDAP. Did you prepare this section of the notice?
That's typically a boilerplate. It
Okay.
just comes with it, and we just either it applies or it doesn't. So either eliminate it or add to.
Okay. I have a couple questions regarding this, but it sounds like these, if they're better directed towards Mr. Smith in his testimony, because I believe he's the one who handles it, but just let me know and I'll ask him again. Do you know if there was any public notice about regarding the 2005 determination of non-significance and 2005 CEPA checklist for the original approval of the Highland Park Business Park determinations? Was there any public notice either provided here in the notice of application or otherwise?
That I couldn't tell you. Don't
Okay.
know.
Okay. And then last question I have, if you'd go to page 3 of this, please, Ms. Jones. Okay, you can stop there. So the last section, it notes the staff report will be available for review 3 business days before the final combined staff report. Was a staff report issued for this project?
That would be a Jeff Smith question, but I'm pretty sure it was. It's you mean internally. They prepare it and then they make their decisions.
Okay.
So yeah, that's their department.
A Jeff question.
Jeff question, of course.
Okay. Well, I will reserve the remainder of our questions for Mr. Smith on that issue. Thank you again for your time.
Yep.
Okay. Is there any redirect?
I'm sorry if I could ask some
Oh,
cross.
yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. Good afternoon, Mr. Hankins. David Cartman, representing the applicant. I just had a few questions for you. You mentioned that you had reviewed the storm drainage plans for the project. Is that right?
That's correct.
And I am sharing with you, hopefully, Exhibit F14, which says storm drainage report on the cover. Are you seeing that?
Yes, I am.
And is this the report that was prepared for the hotel project that we're discussing today?
I'm assuming it's so. I didn't. I mean, it's been a while since I looked at it, so.
Sure.
But
And just, I guess, going with who it lists as the authors on the front, was this prepared by engineers?
reviewed by engineers.
And also just prepared at the top by project engineer, Mr. DeReuter.
Yeah, that's who it was prepared by, and then Michael probably signed off.
Great. And I know you said it's been a while since you've looked at this. Do you recall if this discusses the stormwater requirements and the specific additional analysis regarding stormwater drainage for the project?
It should. It will start with the at the very beginning, project overview
Thank you.
summary.
I just want to ask about a couple other documents. So I'm jumping over to F5. I think you had also mentioned a geotechnical report
Yeah.
and going with the information on pages 1 and 2. Does this appear to be the geotechnical report, Exhibit F5, that was prepared specifically for this project?
Okay, yes.
Thank you. And now I'm pulling up Exhibit F15, which says on the front, Construction Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan. Is this similarly what it
Yeah,
says?
it's a separate document. It's a erosion control plan.
How does that differ from the stormwater drainage report more generally?
It deals with the erosion control measures. So anything that's going to cause erosion control, so construction entrances, water leaving the site versus a storm report would go into how you're designing your flow control systems and pipes and things like that. This would not do that.
Thank you. And now I'm just jumping over to Exhibit F47, which is actually one of the appeals, but I'm looking at Exhibit A to Exhibit F47. And you see this table with the heading Notes on a Permit.
Yes, I do.
Are you familiar with what this shows?
Slightly familiar with it. Yeah, something
Does
got
this appear
migrated
to
over.
indicate I guess some of the decisions and approvals that you were referring to taking place internally for the project that we're discussing today?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Great. So I'm going to the second page of this attachment, which is PDF page 19 of Exhibit F47. And do you see here in the second row from the bottom, there is a item dated April 14th, 2025.
Yeah.
Reflecting an email from T. Turner at kitsap.gov.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Yes, she's the retired fire marshal.
Was she the fire marshal
Yes.
at the time this entry was
Yes.
made?
Yep.
And does this I guess what does the text on the right side of that beginning with the words hydrant location is approved, what does that indicate?
That indicates she looked at the hydrant locations and then she is going to approve it. So when it comes time for her to sign off her whole step, she would write approved if just for the hydrant location. She's just making a note.
Yep. And then the second sentence of that text block, does that also say access meets the requirement?
Where was that said?
Yep. So the same second row from the
Yeah, access
bottom.
meets the requirements and has been approved. That is
Yep.
correct.
And is CKFR, is that Central Kitsap Fire?
Yes, it is.
And does this also say meets the requirements of fire flow?
That is correct.
So is this consistent with what you were saying earlier that the fire department has essentially signed off on this project?
That I would, seeing that note, I would believe that they would have signed off as approved.
Thank you. And I think the only other thing I wanted to ask you was down on page PDF 24 of this exhibit F47. I'm looking kind of in the bottom half of this, and you see there's some entries on March 19th and March 23rd, 2026.
Yeah, I see those.
And do you see on the right-hand side, the text says appeal received, do not issue the SDAP COM until appeal is resolved.
Correct.
And is that, I guess, consistent with what you and what Ms. Olson were discussing earlier about the appealable decision and the nature of that permit?
Yes, I think that's exactly what happened. So, as soon as the appeal came in, we just stopped. We can't go forward.
Okay. I think that's all my questions for you. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Mr. Walker, anything further from you?
No, thank you.
Okay. I believe that's all the questions. Okay. All right. Mr. Hankins, thank you for your testimony this afternoon.
Okay.
All right. I believe, let's see, we're at 4:14. I believe that was the last witness today. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. All right. So I think we'll reconvene tomorrow. And will the county have, we'll have additional witnesses tomorrow. I know we have this question of Jeff Smith because he's out. And then I know the applicant has some witnesses, including I think there's a traffic engineer in particular, Mr. Cartman, that you had referenced.
That's right.
Okay. So we will reconvene, I think, at 9. We have this hearing room tomorrow. I think I'll be in person tomorrow. Probably not. If we go, I don't know if we'll. Do you all? Is it likely that we'll conclude tomorrow? No, you don't think. Oh, well, that's right, because Mr. Smith, we'll have to figure that one out. So
Yes.
we don't have information on that. So yeah, depending on if we have Wednesday, then I may do it remotely. But I think tomorrow I'll probably be in person again. Is there anything procedural that we need to address before we adjourn for today?
I would expect that on Wednesday we will call, or the county will call Jeff Smith and Matt Bryant. Tomorrow we can call Darren Gurney. My thinking is we should probably go with the applicant's witnesses to make certain we get through them, and then add it, you call Mr. Gurney if time allows. Otherwise, Mr. Gurney would go to Wednesday.
Okay. Any questions from any of the parties on any of that?
That's fine.
Okay. All
I
right.
guess I'd reserve the right to recall a witness, I guess, to speak briefly to something that we might hear from Mr. Smith. Just
Understood. Yep.
yeah, but we're fine, planning, and I think we should be able to get through all the applicant witnesses tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you all for your appearances this to all today. Most of today, I guess. We are adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.